Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in 1 Kings chapter 6. There are 30 in this chapter. And we're doing the translation, doing King James translation and also the commentary. And this is part 9 of Dealing with the Spirit. And we have a couple of letters. And right now, let's ask the Lord to anoint this service, this tape. Lord, anoint me. Anoint the reader of the word. Anoint the reader of the letters. And open up the ears and the minds. The minds and the ears and the hearts and the spirits of everyone that hears the tape to receive more life by your word. Your word is spirit and life. So we need to pack our lives, our spirits, with your spirit, with your life, with your word. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's begin with the letters.
The first letter is from Haiti, West Indies. Says, Dear beloved Pastor Alamo, warmest greetings to you and your loved ones. We write you this letter for the purpose of telling you that we received your box of newsletters safely. We thank you a lot for that, because your newsletters win a lot of souls in Haiti. We were delighted to distribute them to the people, especially in the biggest English institute in Haiti. We told them how it is not only necessary to learn the English language, but it's even more necessary to accept Jesus Christ as their own Savior, and they all together agreed with us. They told us to keep in touch with them so that we can give them other gospel materials like your new editions. At the same time, Pastor, they made us understand that they are in need of Bibles. So please send us some King James Version Bibles. We are looking forward to your answer very soon. May God bless you abundantly. Faithfully yours, F.F. from Haiti, West Indies.
All right. This month we're actually released 5 new pieces of literature. There's one that has to do with this Shivo case. Another one has to do with let's be as merciful to the Pope as they were to Miss Shivo, the Pope, the world government, the whole system which is run by the Pope. And another one was the earthquake tract, literature. And then another one is all the different things that the different people and things that the Pope had prayed for, and they were utterly destroyed after he blessed them. And then we have this new one regarding all the blasphemous statements, which is the 5th piece of literature, where all these are the Antichrist blasphemous statements that Pope John Paul II has made. He's blasphemed the Holy Spirit on many occasions. This is the sin that is unforgivable in this world and in the world to come. And at this moment, because the Word of God is true, that man's soul is in hell. And there are also in this literature are blasphemous statements that the other popes have made as well. And I don't know if I'll add anything in regard to the new pope, who was a Nazi, and ran German youth camps that taught children to hate. Also, John Paul II, Pope John Paul II, worked in the Auschwitz camp as manufacturing and selling the cyanide gas that destroyed, I believe it was 6 or more million Jewish people, innocent Jewish people. And for this, the Vatican made him pope. He was a priest, then he became a bishop, and after he fled as a fugitive from Poland he fled to the Vatican, and they made him pope. Before that, he was in Argentina, and the man is a fugitive, and I have written a piece of literature entitled The Fugitive Pope. And the Pope's Secrets, and several other pieces of literature. So this is 5 pieces of literature that I put out this month. I was seven behind, and now I've got two more that are almost ready to distribute or to print, to finish up and print and distribute throughout the world, so I'll be all caught up. And I know the Lord is going to even bless the work a lot more when they get out. So it's important that we know that beware of people that the world speaks well of, because they also spoke well of the people that persecuted the prophets beforehand. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so the people's opinions have always been wrong. The Word of God has always been the truth. So people have to make a choice as to whether they're going to believe truth or the popes, or go along with public opinion. The majority has always been wrong, and the record stands to this very day. God destroyed the majority of the people in the world when he flooded the world and left only eight to live. So we see the world in the same deplorable condition today as it was in the days of Noah, just before the flood. It repented God that he had made man, and he said that he would destroy them. And after this, man would live only 120 years maximum. Just once in a while you might see somebody live a little longer, but the average age of humans today is probably around 70 or 80. Sometimes for strength they last a little bit longer, 90. But a decade goes by very fast, so God's got plenty of time. He's just sitting there waiting for people to come up and invite them to come into the kingdom of heaven because of the good that they did in this world. Good meaning they did what he said, or if they didn't, to sling their souls into hell. And you say, we don't like that kind of a God. Let me tell you, he doesn't like you either, okay? If you don't like God, he for sure doesn't like you either. And so what are you going to say to him when you stand before him? Are you going to say, I don't like you? I think not. He's an awesome and fearful God. He says that he's fearful and very... He's a good God, and he's very strict, though. That makes him good in my books. Okay, now who else have you got here?
From Luapula, Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
Says, Dear Sir, greetings to you in the blessed name of our Lord and King Jesus Christ, the soon coming Judge. Thank you very much for all the newsletters you send to us. I have received them with gratitude and thanks, and many people have received them through our missions team. We are receiving reports from so many how the newsletters are enlightening the souls to the truth. Our team is also blessed very much, and we are requesting more from you. Don't stop sending to us. The other things I would like to request from you, apart from the world newsletters and books, are Bibles. In many rural areas where we are ministering, many leaders and converts, new Christians, lack Bibles because they are expensive and are only found in urban areas. Therefore, this has contributed to spiritual immaturity in both leaders we are training and those who are coming to Jesus Christ. Please help us in this area. We need many Bibles. Our missions team has not enough funds to spend on transports, food, etc., and then buying Bibles for those who need them. May the good Lord bless you as you continue to labor in his field. Continue to do the will of God, who is able to reward you one day. Yours in Christ's service, Pastor C.R. from Luapula, Zambia, Africa.
Okay, now we always send Bibles, all they want, and also literature, but I've asked you people not to read all these requests for Bibles and literature. I want the letters, and we get plenty of them, that primarily tell about the souls, all the different people that are getting saved from the literature. And I don't understand why these type letters are continue to be read. Okay? Okay, now, Sharon, do you want to come forward with chapter 6? Kings.
How Solomon built the temple. King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord.
You know, the reason I don't like to read those kind of letters just asking for literature, because that doesn't edify anybody. Does it edify you if I say, can I have a Bible?
No.
Or can I have more literature?
No.
No. Not at all. That's why I just don't like to have them read. Because we get hundreds of letters asking for them, and we do give the Bibles out in the literature as well. Because we're one, I know I'm 110 to 20% to even more than that if it's possible, of winning souls and supplying people with tools to win souls with. But it doesn't edify people. It's like meaningless words. And these tapes are supposed to be, the purpose for them is to win souls. And it doesn't win souls to say, can I have a Bible? Can I have a Bible to keep reading these things? And some people just can't understand that. It just doesn't get through. And now I'm just, Michelle, please, I said, don't read those anymore. All right? Okay, this is how many times that I've stated this. Receive it, please. Would that edify you if somebody asked for a Bible?
No.
Huh?
No.
Me either. Okay, let's go.
Verse 2. And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits. And the height thereof 30 cubits.
Okay, now this, we can just go right over to the translation because it's going to be primarily the same throughout the chapter, I'm sure. Okay, go ahead. It's measurements, and these measurements are very important because it shows how concise and precise the Lord is. And when we go into the New, when we read the New Testament, we see that he is just that concise and precise about studying the Old Scriptures to see how concise and precise he is. And that's how concise and precise he is about our refurbishing the place where he's to live. That means inside our bodies, inside our spirits. So he wants us totally furnished with all the Word of God. This is why the New Testament says to put on the whole armor of God, because we have to, if you're interested in making it into the kingdom of heaven, you have to preserve your soul. And the only way that you can preserve it or stand against the wiles or the lies and the temptations and everything of the devil, you must be thoroughly furnished with the full armor of God, inwardly and outwardly. And so try to think, you know, today we're living in a Reader's Digest era of time where everybody just wants to learn everything quick. Flim flam. Just give me the, you know, the cream and forget about all the details. But, you know, the kingdom of heaven and the earth, heaven and the earth is done in great detail, and so is the human body, and so is the human soul and the human spirit. And you cannot get your soul furbished and refurbished and fully armored in a open a Cracker Jack box type situation and just eat the Cracker Jacks and get the prize. It doesn't work that way. That's what Cracker Jack does, but you're not going to fashion God into your Cracker Jack or Reader's Digest or quick learning type or condensed type situation. You cannot condense God or the knowledge of God or the wisdom of God. It takes time to do this. It is given to us line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little over a period of years and to live the experience of it. It is not going to come in pill form, where you just swallow a pill or take a shot and it's all over. Where people take flu shots and that's it. That isn't the way it is. That isn't at all like the world. This is the kingdom of heaven, and it's the living place of God. He's not going to go for a shotgun shack. And those of you that don't know what a shotgun shack is, down south here, and probably many other places throughout the world have shotgun shacks. You open the front door and the back door, and you can see right from the beginning of the house to the end of it and outside. Or you can take a shotgun shack. It's so small, you know, when you're firing a shotgun, the BBs spread out all over the place. But the shotgun shack is so small that you fire the shotgun, and the BBs don't even hit the wall. It just goes outside, and then it spreads. You understand what I mean? Okay, so this isn't, God is not a shotgun shack. He doesn't want to live in a shotgun shack. He won't live in a shotgun shack. He won't live in a, you know, a person that, and he won't honor a person that wants to know God in an instant, completely the Bible. It can't happen, won't happen. I don't care even how many times you read the Bible or how many times you listen to it on a tape. Your spirit will only absorb a certain amount every day. Sometimes the Lord will allow you to only absorb and meditate upon one scripture at a time. And sometimes you'll be able to do a whole chapter and, you know, remember some of it. And then sometimes you might be able to read an entire small book or plow through an entire large book in a day, but you won't remember it all. It won't absorb into your spirit because you haven't really experienced all the things that the Spirit is showing you. Everybody wants a quick fix, but that's not the Bible. That's not the kingdom of heaven. You must have patience, and you must persevere. You must keep pushing forward. But you're not going to be able to go faster than you're able to, than the Lord allows you to. The human spirit is only able, it's only necessary to absorb enough on a daily basis to stand one day at a time. Okay? Sometimes people read like 2 or 3, 4, 5, 10 books in a day, and they think they've really done something. But I don't believe that the Lord... I doubt if he gave him that many to read. Because if you prayerfully ask the Lord where you should read, and if that's really where you're supposed to, he gives you the place where you're supposed to read, well, then he'll just give you a certain amount. It's like a little baby when they're born. You can't put 25 bottles of baby food down their throat and then take a little tamp and stuff it down their throat, nor can you take steak or pork chops or crab meat or lobster or anything and stuff it down their throat, they'll choke to death. And so will you. You're not going to learn it overnight. But learn it enough to where you stand one day at a time to just... It's not who's going to be the best, or I'm trying to get to know as much as this one man or that man. That never even ever entered my mind. I just wanted enough of the word of the Lord, and I wanted to make sure that I got enough every day to where I stood that day strong in the Lord. And if you're standing strong in the Lord every day, that's all is required of you. Sufficient is the evil of this one day. Don't worry about tomorrow. When you get up tomorrow, then just tank up with enough of the Word of God to last that day. All right? And prayerfully read the Bible to where you can receive the exact message or whatever it is that the Lord wants you to learn and do that day. All right? Understand that? Okay, then let's go on to the next. Now, this is the translation, we'll just go all the way through with the 38 verses.
How Solomon Built the Temple. Translation, verse 1. It was in mid-spring during the fourth year of Solomon's reign that he began the construction of the temple of the Lord. This was 480 years after the people of Israel were delivered from their slavery in the land of Egypt. Verse 2. The temple that King Solomon built for the Lord was 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Verse 3. The foyer at the front of the temple was 30 feet wide, running across the entire width of the temple. It projected outward 15 feet from the front of the temple. Verse 4. Solomon also made narrow, recessed windows throughout the temple. Verse 5. A complex of rooms was built against the outer wall of the temple, all the way around the sides and rear of the building. Verse 6. The complex was 3 stories high, the bottom floor being 7.5 feet wide, and the second floor 9 feet wide, and the top floor 10.5 feet wide. The rooms were connected to the walls of the temple by beams resting on the ledges built out from the walls. So the beams were not inserted into the walls themselves. Verse 7.
So the actual weight of the beams was what held the beams on the ledges. They weren't rammed into the walls. Okay, then what else?
Verse 7. The stones used in the construction of the temple were pre-finished at the quarry, so the entire structure was built without the sound of a hammer, axe, or any other iron tool at the building site. Verse 8. The entrance to the bottom floor was on the south side of the temple. There were winding stairs going up to the second floor, and another flight of stairs between the second floor and the third floors. Verse 9. After completing the temple structure, Solomon put in a ceiling made of beams and planks of cedar. Verse 10. As already stated, there was a complex of rooms on 3 sides of the building, attached to the temple walls by cedar timbers. Each story of the complex was 7.5 feet high. Verse 11. Then the Lord gave this message to Solomon. Verse 12. Quote, concerning this temple you are building, if you keep all my laws and regulations and obey all my commands, I will fulfill through you the promise I made to your father David. Verse 13. I will live among the people of Israel and never forsake my people. Unquote. The interior of the temple. Verse 14. So Solomon finished building the temple. Verse 15. The entire inside from floor to ceiling was paneled with wood. He paneled the walls and ceilings with cedar, and he used cypress for the floors. Verse 16. He partitioned off an inner sanctuary, the most holy place, at the far end of the temple. It was 30 feet deep and was paneled with cedar from floor to ceiling. Verse 17. The main room of the temple outside the most holy place was 60 feet long. Verse 18. Cedar paneling completely covered the stone walls throughout the temple, and the paneling was decorated with carvings of gourds and opened flowers. Verse 19. Solomon prepared the inner sanctuary in the rear of the temple, where the Ark of the Lord's Covenant would be placed. Verse 20. This inner sanctuary was 30 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 30 feet high. Solomon overlaid its walls and ceiling with pure gold. He also overlaid the altar made of cedar. Verse 21. Then he overlaid the rest of the temple's interior with pure gold, and he made gold chains to protect the entrance to the most holy place. Verse 22. So he finished overlaying the entire temple with gold, including the altar that belonged to the most holy place. Verse 23. Within the inner sanctuary, Solomon placed 2 cherubs made of olive wood, each 15 feet tall. Verse 24. The wingspan of each of the cherubim was 15 feet, each wing being 7.5 feet long. Verse 25. The 2 cherubs were identical in shape and size. Verse 26. Each was 15 feet tall. Verse 27. Solomon placed them side by side in the inner sanctuary of the temple. Their outspread wings reached from wall to wall, while their inner wings touched at the center of the room. Verse 28. He overlaid the two cherubs with gold. Verse 29. All the walls of the inner sanctuary and the main rooms were decorated with carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. Verse 30. The floor in both rooms was overlaid with gold. Verse 31. For the entrance to the inner sanctuary, Solomon made double doors of olive wood with five studded doorposts. Verse 32. These doors were decorated with carvings of cherubs, palm trees, and open flowers, and the doors were overlaid with gold. Verse 33. Then he made four-sided doorposts of olive wood for the entrance to the temple. Verse 34. There were two folding doors of cypress wood, and each door was hinged to fold back upon itself. Verse 35. These doors were decorated with carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and the doors were overlaid with gold. Verse 36. The walls of the inner courtyard were built so that there was one layer of cedar after every three layers of hewn stone. Verse 37. The foundation of the Lord's temple was laid in mid-spring of the fourth year of Solomon's reign. Verse 38. The entire building was completed in every detail by mid-autumn of the 11th year of his reign. So it took 7 years to build the temple.
Okay, that was chapter 6, 1 Kings, and now we have a commentary.
6, verse 11. For more information on the purposes of the temple, you can study 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1. 6, verse 7. In honor of God, the temple in Jerusalem was built without sound of a hammer or any other tool at the building site.
Which is symbolic of the temple of God being built without the sound of a hammer. That is us. The temple of God was not created with the sound of any hammer. Okay, we're human beings, and the Spirit of God enters into us, and we become God-humans, God-men and women. Okay, then what else?
This meant that the stone had to be, quote, dressed, unquote, cut and shaped miles away at the quarry. The people's honor and respect for God extended to every aspect of constructing his house of worship. This detail is reported not to teach us how to build a church, but to show us the importance of demonstrating care, concern, honor, and respect for God and his sanctuary.
And this, his sanctuary is we, us. Okay, then what else?
6 verse 13. This verse summarizes the temple's main purpose. God promised that his eternal presence would never leave the temple as long as one condition was met. The Israelites had to obey God's commandments.
Right, and so it's the same thing with the tabernacle of the Lord today. The Lord will stay in you so long as you keep his commandments. If you don't, his spirit leaves you. And when the spirit has left you, the eternal life is left you, because only does his spirit have eternal life in it. So if his spirit leaves you, you do not have eternal life. Okay? You just have temporal life. All right? Then what else?
They had to obey his law. Knowing how many laws they had to follow, we may think this condition was difficult, but without the Spirit of God, and without the Spirit of God, it is. But the Israelites' situation was much like ours today. They were not cut off from God. Our situation is today that we're cut off because we have the power of God and they didn't. We have the power of God living in us. Some people say that God just forgave any sin, large or small. That isn't true. As you read the history of the kings, you will see that law-breaking was the result, not the cause, of estrangement from God. The kings abandoned God in their hearts first, and then failed to keep his laws. When we close our hearts to God, His power and His presence leave and will not come back. 6 verse 14.
And people will say, well, what about the mercy of God? The mercy of God is that He warns you that this will happen before, and so that's mercy. All right? He warns you, you must keep the commandments or you'll lose eternal life. In order to keep me in your body, He says, you cannot serve me and the devil at the same time, or the world, or money, or any of the byproducts of the world. Okay? I will not abide in an unruly, rebellious temple. Somebody, I will not share my temple with you or the devil. That's why He wants you mortified, terminated, done away with, so that He can live in you and save your spirit, your soul. Okay, then what else?
The concept of Solomon's temple was more like a palace for God than a place of worship, as a dwelling place for God. It was fitting for it to be ornate and beautiful. It had small inside dimensions because most worshipers gathered outside.
Right. Now, we had a birthday party here at the house. You know, a lot of people have birthday parties over here. And there was a lot of children outside. And some of the older sisters and the mothers are supposed to take care of the children. But come to find out, there were some children just stuffing their mouths with candy in one area. And they were just babies. And somebody went out there and said, are you taking, who's taking care of these babies? No, nobody knew. As though, you know, you could just let children run wild. And when Sue and I, the revival came in our church, it was widespread. And it happened all at once. Well, there was the only two real veterans, the only real veteran was Susie, my wife. And I was just saved, but I had so much fear of the Lord on me that it equaled out to where I would just be quiet and learn. I just wanted to learn, and whenever I knew what to do, then I'd just do it. And I just wanted to take care of everybody in the world. Well, some person out there said, well, I'm taking care of this one girl, I'm this one baby, and so I don't... We, Sue and I, took care of everybody, and I still do to this very day, take care of everyone in the whole church. And that's here in the United States and throughout the world. And I just can't see somebody that just wants to just watch one person, or a school teacher that says, I just can't handle more than 10 children. When Susie and I were handling like thousands of people, and today I'm handling millions of people. And they just can't watch one more than one little baby. I don't believe that person is of faith. They're not of the Lord. Couldn't be. And they just couldn't. If you don't care about God, letting God live in your temple, because if it's the Holy Spirit's living in you, then that Holy Spirit that's in you cares about everyone, is watching out for the wolf everywhere, in the whole yard, in the whole house, in the whole church, in the whole country, in the whole world. You're watching and looking for some place to smash Satan. And these kids are just running around wild out there. And so a parent, that's why the Lord says that, if we're not a good steward in our own house, we're worse than an infidel, a person that doesn't support, not just monetarily, but physically and spiritually, their wife and their children. They're worse than an infidel. And I say it all the time. If an infidel goes to hell, that's the one that doesn't believe in God. Then where does the worse than an infidel go? They go to the hottest place in hell, in the lake of fire. All right, now we've got part 9 of dealing with the spirit. It's supposed to, you know, the more you these messages are preached, the more I see the people, a lot of people not receiving. Now I see a lot of people receiving the messages, but then there's like the chosen few that have been chosen and selected by Satan that get worse and worse, and they just stand out like sore thumbs. Okay, let's go with part 9 of dealing with the Spirit.
The standard of peace. The standard of our dealing with the Spirit, and the reason, the major part of our dealing with the Spirit, is always, quote, life and peace, unquote. That's the standard.
Right, if you are dealing with your Spirit, you know you're right with the Lord, you have eternal life, and you have peace, no matter how much turmoil is in the world, or how much evil or violence, you still have peace. I know that during the earthquake in Los Angeles, I was, Sue woke me up and said, there's an earthquake. And so I said, oh, yeah, something, and I got up and sat on the edge of the bed and was just enjoying the rocking of it. Some people might think you're crazy. And I could hear cans of soup and all cans of corn and peas or whatever it was, the refrigerator and stuff flying out of it in the kitchen and hitting the tile floor in there. And I had so much peace, I just figured, well, this is it, Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I didn't feel that it was the end, because there was no feeling of it. There was no feeling of the urgency or the Spirit. It wasn't quickening me at all. But I heard people screaming and screaming and screaming, and I thought, God, how irritating. You know, isn't it bad enough to have an earthquake and cans of soup and everything else flying, dishes and everything flying around the kitchen without somebody screaming? Calm down. They were yelling downstairs to see, is everything right down there, God? Oh, God, you know, so on and so forth. That person didn't have much peace. Amen?
Amen.
And it's because maybe there wasn't that much life in them. So if you have life, eternal life, immortality, you've got peace. When I saw the Lord, the first thing I wanted to do is get out of this world anyway. I didn't want to come back even for a second. I was disappointed when the Lord said, not now. I said, oh, no. God, what next? This is going back over 30-some years ago. All right, let's continue.
We must get to that standard. We only need to deal...
The standard is what?
Life and peace.
Life and peace. Okay, then what?
We only need to deal to the degree of having peace within. When that is accomplished, then we've got it made. This is sufficient. This is enough. One day at a time. However, concerning the degree or the amount of dealing whereby we can obtain peace, the Holy Spirit will be responsible to speak to us and give us a clear feeling. Many times the speaking of the Holy Spirit within us has a higher standard than the outward demand.
Well, we don't live by feelings, we live by faith, but the Lord does give us a feeling of peace. Amen? I can feel the peace of the Holy Spirit. Can't you?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
If our growth in life reaches the degree of dealing with our Spirit...
When I say, isn't that true? Then some people, their mouth looks like a goldfish. You don't know about... The only thing that doesn't happen is bubbles don't come out. They never get it in their system to say, amen, where everybody could hear him on tape. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Amen. All right. No, don't give me the goldfish thing. Abel. They don't even make the abel. It's just their mouth like a goldfish. No sound. Okay, then what? That they get too troubled to make a sound. You know, it's like too much of an effort. The Bible says to make a sound, amen? A joyful sound unto the Lord.
Amen.
But they don't. It's just goldfish. And then what else?
If our growth in life reaches the degree of dealing with our Spirit, when we get that far, then the demand of the Holy Spirit within us will not only be higher than the law of this world, but higher and more severe than the regulations in letter in the Bible. Therefore, as long as we feel that there's no problem deep within us, that is good enough.
Good for what? Good for peace. And that means that we've got life. Amen?
Amen.
All you need is life and peace. Okay, what else?
If, on the other hand, there is some problem deep within us which gives us no peace, we must not listen to our outward man, our outward reasonings. We must pay attention to the inner demand of the Holy Spirit and thereby attain the standard required by the Holy Spirit deep within us.
Yeah, and don't pay attention to the flesh and the soul that's deep within you either, because Satan will, the satanic powers will cause the inward parts to rebel against the learnings of the Holy Spirit and the dealings of the Holy Spirit. Because it just, say, will begin saying, if this is just too much to have to deal with my inward feelings of hatred and of lying and of making up stories and rage against God, and say, this is just too much, I don't want to serve the Lord anymore. Well, this you are saying to your own destruction, if that's what you're saying. Because you must, whether you want to or not, you must be mortified. You must be terminated. There's the voice of the Holy Spirit talking to you within, and giving you enough power to deal with the corruption in the soul that some people may say comes from the passing through the soul and the flesh. But still in all, the soul and the flesh is screaming out against the Spirit of the Lord. And the flesh is at war with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is dealing, or the cross, where the Holy Spirit of the Word is dealing with you to be mortified or to be terminated, and your spirit, your flesh, and your soul are warring against that. So that's why Paul said that he just concentrates on God. That's the only way to beat your body black and blue, is with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Buddhists think it's all right, you know, to just get on their hands and knees and take down their pants and then whip themselves with a cat of nine tails on their rear end. And they think that that is crucifying the flesh, or that that's going to deal with their flesh. That won't do it. The cat of nine tails, or abusing yourself in one way or another, is not the same as the Holy Spirit dealing with you. That isn't the cross. That's you inflicting pain on yourself, in hopes that this is going to do the same work, that your flesh is going to be able to put your flesh under control. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says the Spirit is what mortifies and puts to death the unruly flesh, and it makes it puts your flesh under subjection to the Holy Spirit, not to the cat of nine tails, or, you know, punching yourself black and blue, or gnashing at yourself, or hitting your fist into a tree, like we've seen some people do. Years ago, there was a girl that couldn't control her, so she just was possessed. And she'd throw her mother's picture against the wall and stamp on it and run outside and hit a tree with her fists. And then she'd laugh about it later, but there wasn't anything to laugh about. And you see this in a lot of people. They just excuse it as, well, we were just throwing a little fit, but that isn't what it is. It's they need there to deal with their spirit First, they have to deal with their flesh and then their spirit, so that it be under control of the Holy Spirit. It's something that they can't see, and they've never experienced control. That is, say, self-control. No, you can't even have self-control unless it's coupled with the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, because self is not going to discipline self. Maybe for a few days, but it won't be the dealing of the Holy Spirit, and only the dealing of the Holy Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit's life in you is going to be able to get you into the kingdom of heaven. Right? Satan will not cast out Satan. Amen?
Amen.
Which is the same saying as flesh will not cast out flesh. It has to be the Holy Spirit, the one that's at war with your flesh. Because your flesh is really at war with the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit will cast out the flesh, will mortify your flesh and your soul, if you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, okay? But if you think you're going to do it some other way as a Buddhist, like paddling yourself, well, you'll teach yourself, you know. You're not going to teach yourself anything. Amen?
Yeah.
Only when you cooperate with the Lord's way of doing things. You cooperate with what the Lord says. And abide, live in the Spirit. Because the Lord says, if you live in the Spirit, that means I'll live in you. And if you live in the Spirit, if you let my Spirit live in you, and you live in my Spirit, then whatsoever you ask, he'll give it to you. But that isn't the Spirit you just smashing something and saying, oh, I blew it. Well, don't blow it. The Lord has provided the Holy Spirit for you, the bulldozer. Now you have to get into the Spirit so that you're using the Holy Spirit, and this Holy Spirit then can use you. Amen?
Amen.
We use each other. Amen? Amen? We cooperate with each other. If we cooperate with the Spirit, the Lord will cooperate with us. How's that? That's the deal. The Lord says, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. You turn your back on me, and I'll turn my back on you, and just let the devil have at you. And that's why you see suicides. That's why you see all these murders that slaughter at Columbine. They're trying to figure out what went wrong with these kids. Well, they took the Holy Spirit out of the school. And they say, well, they're watching so much violence on television, and they're wanting to be play actors and so on. So they didn't have their mind concentrated on the Holy Spirit, on the function or the function of life, or on life at all. Life is only in the Holy Spirit, in the eternal Holy Spirit of God. You must have His Spirit in you. And so when you don't, then then the Lord leaves you to your own devices. He says, here's power, now come and get it. And do it on a consistent basis, on a daily basis, so that you can allow me to fight this war with you. The Apostle Paul said, who is able to deliver me from this horrible war that's within my members? The things that I want to do, I cannot do, because there's something in me that causes me to do what I don't want to do. My spirit wants to serve the Lord and do everything that the Lord says. Who can deliver me from this? And then he answers the question in in the 8th chapter of Romans by saying, the Holy Spirit can deliver you from this. Amen?
Amen.
And only the Holy Spirit. He said, there's nothing that I can do, as wise as I am. I'm a Pharisee. I learned at the feet of Gamaliel. He had all this knowledge, but he didn't have the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, who is able? He says, I thank God for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has become the quickening spirit I thank God for the quickening spirit, Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So if you don't want to be condemned, you must ask the Lord to come into you. He's the quickening spirit, or the life-giving spirit. And he puts his life in you, which is the power that gives you the power to overcome all the things that you see you cannot get rid of. You must lay all your burdens on the Lord, on the Holy Spirit, because he really cares for you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
He wants you to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he says, cast your burdens upon me. Cast all your cares upon me, because I care for you. Amen?
Amen.
So you've got these hang-ups there. The flesh, you've got your soulish life. He says, now cast all your heart, soul, mind, and strength on me. Do it. Because I care for you. And unless you do that, there's no way that I can care for you. I won't make you do it because I made you a free moral agent. If I made you do what I want you to do, then you'd say I was a dictator just controlling you, that I'm a mind controller or something. No, he says, I tell you, here's good and here's evil. Choose which one you want. Now if you choose good, then I'll show you how to get into heaven. And if you do what I tell you to get into heaven, you will. Now, I'm God, and nobody knows more than I do, so just do what I tell you. Rely on me. Have faith in my words that explain to you how to get into the kingdom of God. Don't go any other way, because it's death. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. So that's the whole... You might say secret in a nutshell, but it's not a secret. It's in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
It's there for everybody to read. All right, then what? That's it? Oh, so we finish here. That's all I've written there. Now, do I have another part of this, or do I go into the Holy Spirit? Okay, that was the last in the series of dealing with the Spirit, the human spirit. Now, the next one, message and series, will be on how to receive the Holy Spirit, so you won't want to miss that. Amen?
Amen.
Good, because it's for your own good. You say, well, why should we worship God? When you worship God, you're just helping yourself. Amen?
Amen.
When you serve God, when you serve yourself, which is the same as serving the devil, then you're hurting yourself. Why is it that way? Well, because that's the way it's set up. I mean, you can't, there's no other way, okay? That's why Jesus said, I am the way, amen?
Amen.
The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by any other means. No one comes into the kingdom of heaven by any other way. So why not save a lot of heartache, trials and tribulations, everything, and just give your entire self, give everything you got to the Lord? Were you talking about money? Nah. I mean, if it was money, then how could all the people in India, in Africa, and all these poverty-stricken countries, China, get saved? It's free. And it's for everybody that will come unto the Lord. So come unto the Lord. Ask the Lord to enter into your heart and wash all your sins away and enter into you with that life-giving spirit. Alive, the quickening spirit that quickens your soul from death, your spirit from death unto life. And then just stay there in the spirit and just keep pumping the word of God into your soul, into your spirit, into your mind, into your whole being. And why? Because this is casting all your cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you. He cares for you. That's why he tells you to do that. It's for your own good. Then you're going to get into heaven. Make sense?
Yeah.
All right, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, your pastor. And if I'm not, I want to be. Saying, God bless you. And meditate on this all the time. both day and night on the Lord, and tank yourself up with the Word of God. God bless and praise the Lord. Good night, or good morning, wherever, whenever it is that you're listening to this message.